How did you become involved in fluoridation?
In the late 1960s, I moved to Allentown, Pennsylvania, which was not fluoridated. My wife, who is a family doctor, was shocked because she never heard of a place that wasn't fluoridated. It turned out that our dentist was the leader of the community group that was trying to persuade city council to fluoridate. And so we got to talking and wound up volunteering or joining the forces with the people who were trying to get fluoridated. And I continued to do this for close to 30 years because it took that long.
As far as the general public are concerned, what should they do if they, you know, if fluoridation is proposed in their area, and then they start to hear this argument, you know, pro and against and all those other things? What should a member of the public do then to try and sort out in their mind how they feel about the issue?
Most people don't think about fluoridation and don't care about it. And maybe they'll form an opinion if there's a controversy and it becomes public, and so they'll have an opinion. But most people are not even, I would say that a large percentage of people are not even aware of the fact that water is, I'm not sure that most people even know whether their community is fluoridated or not.
Yeah.
People have some awareness of fluoride, but that's because of the advertising of fluoride toothpaste. And so most people know that if you have fluoride toothpaste, that's a good thing. So there's not as much opposition to fluoridation. The other thing I found is that people don't care very long about fluoridation. That if a community puts it in, anti-fluoridation activity drops very, very sharply. What you should look at is what's the prevailing scientific viewpoint, and that's overwhelming. It's really a matter of, it's a more general thing too, as to where you get your health advice. You get it from the newspaper, you get it by email. I recommend that you get it from trustworthy sources. So if you're really concerned about it, you have a dentist that you trust, just ask them. And do you know how many different arguments there have been against fluoridation? Well, in the 1960s, I think a group cataloged 500, and that was 60 years ago. So I suspect that there have been, I don't know, 600, 700, maybe 1,000. Now, if you have 1,000 arguments or 500 arguments against something, what does that tell you? It tells you they have to be wrong. Use common sense. If any one of those arguments was true, that would be enough. So if you have 500, something's wrong. But if a single argument were true, a vast majority of physicians and dentists would be against it. Because, I mean, what are you going to believe? You think your doctor, you think your medical doctor and your dentist want to poison you? I mean, it's absurd. The reason that people are against it, those people who are, it's because they're afraid, and there's no reason to be afraid. So why should the fact that they're against it, nobody's really against it on general principles, that's sort of a mirage. People are against it because they don't understand it, or they're afraid. So now, as far as, I mean, in a democratic society, you want to have laws that do the greatest amount of good for the greatest number of people. And there are good reasons to be for fluoridation. It makes sense economically. It helps people have a better life. In some, particularly in areas where, parts of the community where people don't have as good access to health care, or perhaps don't take as, you know, children don't get as good care for their teeth, it'll offer protection. And dental disease is not trivial. In young children, there are some children that wind up, you know, with terrible, terrible decay. They wind up having to be hospitalized for serious infections. I mean, that's not common. Economically, it makes sense because the cost of providing dental care to children will go down, and so on.